This is PS You're Wrong, the podcast where we talk trash about the things people love to hate and hate to love, and we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
Did that sound like Stranger Things theme song?
Yeah, I think so. I think it got there, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. I am trying out for Pitch Perfect 4, and that's one of the, that's one of the audition pieces that they're giving us is the Stranger Things theme song. It's a crossover, actually. Pitch Perfect 4 is a Stranger Things crossover. Millie Bobby Brown's in it.
That's what they've been working on, is
That's the secret episode that's coming out. Sorry. Jesus oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I do want to say, I've got to get this off my chest, because you texted me this morning, and I've been thinking about it ever since.
Oh, yes, because of your negligence.
I need to issue an apology
slash
clarification. Mm-hmm. This is the podcast where we talk trash, but I can understand the frustration in getting it wrong. I thought I was making it clear when I talked about not watching the Taylor Swift documentary that I just didn't care and I hadn't seen it. But in our casual spitballing, it may have come across as me saying, like, it's trash and no one cares about it. I don't remember what was said. I honestly
believe that I said it's trash and nobody cares about it.
For the record.
Goes with
it makes sense.
But as you know, as we live in the patriarchy,
the blame has
to be carried by a woman.
Honestly, I think the issue is that I, as a woman, have a heart and care about how people view and see me, and so what might roll off of your shoulder doesn't roll off of mine. So this shout out goes to Sierra, friend of the podcast. I didn't watch it. Did you watch
two episodes?
I watched the first drop. Yeah.
Okay, so but there's four, so there's six episodes total, so there's four that you haven't seen.
Yeah.
Okay. The thing that I thought was interesting, because Sierra texted me this morning about this, is she was like, oh, I was crying during watching it. I watched various parts over again. There's a lot about, like, the dancers and stuff.
Cute.
Which I was like, okay, I had no idea that
this just
that
proves that the algorithm is bad. The algorithm is faulty.
I've gotten nothing about the algorithm. You thought it was all about
I said that all the things I'd seen were just about how much she loved Travis and talking about Travis and how it's, like, about Travis. I'm glad to hear that's not the majority of the episodes. I really am. And I probably will end up watching this docuseries at some point. It's just that I haven't felt drawn to it, and I do feel like it hits some of this common ground we got in Miss Americana, but, like, from a different angle, and I'm not sure I'm really, like, prepared for that. But I'm glad that it was not just about Travis, and supposedly he's only in it for a little bit, so that makes me more interested, because frankly I just don't find
I would like compelling. You to watch it, because I am never going to watch it, but I would like to have more information.
Yeah. We need to be more educated in our topics, and I take that on. So I'll try to watch it, maybe.
Yeah, okay, perfect. Next week. Great. Well, speaking of things that some of us haven't watched, but we're going to talk about anyways, Stranger Things Season 5.
Okay, this is a terrible setup.
Let's go around the table and we'll say how many episodes of it we've watched. I'll go first. I've watched all 8 episodes. Okay, Shelby, how many episodes have you watched?
Okay, I've watched... How many are there? There's 8. So I've watched 4. Is that right?
I think you've watched 5. You watched the first batch, episodes.
Oh, okay, yes,
and then
that's
you watched the finale.
Okay, yes. Okay, and I know that making the statement at the top of this episode that I did will be hypocritical to some, but it's different.
What's crazy about this, and really just, like, works with the timing of it all, is I said, Shelby, what should we do this episode on? I said, we could do Stranger Things, Or we could sort of do like a roundup of all of the movies and TV shows that, you know, came out during our hiatus. And Shelby said, let's do Stranger Things, but I haven't watched the middle section. And I said, okay, well, do you want to watch that before we do this? No. Or like, you can't just pretend if you aren't going to watch this, we have to say that you didn't watch these episodes for journalistic integrity.
I'll say it with my whole chest.
Shelby said, yeah, that's fine. But then now she's been clocked.
It's unfortunate.
She's just spouting off opinions on all kinds of things.
Of my apology.
That she's never seen.
But in both cases, I was honest about not seeing it.
Did you even ever watch Hustlers? Maybe. The Goldfinch was better and you never saw either of them.
No. And in my defense, I wanted to talk about Stranger Things because of the fact that I felt disappointed by its final season to the point of not even wanting to watch half of it. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, that's part of the story. That's part of the feedback the Duffer brothers need to face is that I, a loyal Stranger Things fan for the last decade of my life, was like so unmoved by this season 5 and its messiness that I was like about to scrap the whole thing. But then I was like, oh, this is a 2-hour finale and people said like it's good. Maybe I can just watch that. And you know what? I did. And it was good enough. And by the looks of it, I got all the information I needed to have that carry me through because everyone was like, oh, what about this setup? What about this plot hole? This happened in the second drop and they never covered it. And so it's like, yeah, I'm sorry I cracked the code.
Okay.
Didn't have to watch half of it to get it. But I'm sad about that. Like, I wanted it to be better and it just wasn't. And as someone who watched the whole thing, do you disagree with me?
So, I mean, I've also been a Stranger Things fan for a long time. Shelby watched it. I remember when the first season came out, we still worked together. Mm-hmm, so that's how long has been in the works. And Shelby was like, oh, this show is great. I was like, yeah, whatever. I don't want to watch this. And classic. Then I think in maybe the lead up to the second season, I was like, okay, fine. Everyone's watching this. Like, I want to be a part of the conversation. So then I watched it, obviously loved it. Love the first 3 seasons. Mm-hmm. I can't remember if we covered season 3 on the podcast. I think we did, maybe, like way back when. But then we definitely covered season 4. Yeah. Because that one, I felt sort of like with the way that I think that you felt about season 5 is the way that I sort of felt about season 4. Like when it came around, all of the episodes were long. And I think it had also sort of like a weird, you know, I don't like binging things. And it was like, it all dropped at once. Mm. And I was like, I'm not going to watch 10 hours this like all in one week. So it took me sort of a little bit of, I think, of time to get around to it. And I also feel like I don't remember season 4 at all. But then I've seen the play twice.
Yeah.
Sort of accidentally. I went once because I had press tickets and then my sister was in town and she wanted to see it and we won the lottery, so I went and saw it again. But I thought that the play was really well done and really interesting. And then I think just like the fact that this was the final season, I had more energy for it because it wasn't like, oh, I have no idea when Stranger Things is going to end. Like, this could go on another 6 seasons. It felt like, okay, I have this one mission to sort of like finish the show, polish it all off. And I think the way that it dropped in the 3 chunks was like a little bit more manageable for me. So I was more excited about this. I have a lot of thoughts.
I want to jump in and say we did cover both season 3 and season 4.
Okay. So you can go back and listen to our thoughts on those. I'm sure we stand by everything we said.
Season 3, we were excited. Season 4, we were ambivalent.
Less so. Yeah. But so season 5, like, do I think that you needed to watch all of the episodes to sort of get it? Like, no, but I kind of think that's like the same. Like, I think you could make that argument with truly like any TV show, movie, book, whatever.
Sure,
like,
for
you
sure.
could be like, well, I can skip the middle 100 pages and I sort of figure out what it was about. It's like, okay, great. Yeah, that doesn't mean that that's how like it's intended to be watched.
I just mean, as a season, did you enjoy this?
I enjoyed it enough. Mm. I think I was interested in where it was going. Mm. There was so much going on.
Yeah.
That I was like intrigued. I didn't feel bored by it. I think that Stranger Things sort of got into a rut of doing the same thing over and over and over again. And it kind of did that again in this season, yes. But at least like it was headed towards a finale. So I think that that added a little bit of stuff to it. I also kept thinking that they were going to kill people off. They didn't really kill anybody off, but I was expecting that. So I think that there was a heightened level of sort of anxiety while I was watching it, of like, oh, something big could happen at any moment. Did it? No. But like, I think if I had to rewatch this season, I'd be like, okay, like this is not like
a fun time.
But watching it in real time, not knowing what was going to happen, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I think
it's hard because the entirety of season four, the last half at least, is set up for season five. Like, you know, they don't actually defeat the big baddie. The Hawkins is, you know, split open and monsters are set to roam the earth. And so there's like a lot of anticipation of what that would be. But then the first half of season five is again more set up. And I found myself just kind of like burdened by this, their own neuroses of needing to explain everything and make this big baddie and make it make sense for every season that came before it. And I don't think that retconning really works. Like, yeah, they can say, oh, we had this mapped out since episode one. And it's like, no, you clearly didn't. And that's okay. But you made kind of a mess of it because now you have to like explain how these things all interconnect and also offer up some sort of big final battle to explain why this will be the time that it actually closes the gate and Hawkins is free or whatever. And so it just, yeah, I don't know. I guess I went into it, especially after the first batch, where I was like, okay, we're on a Game of Thrones situation again, where the expectations are so high, the theories are running wild. Everyone's analyzing every episode of this show five seasons back because they think it's all going to tie in together. And so there's so much talk about like what could happen that then what ends up happening is pretty like, oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Sure.
See, I think it's interesting because I almost felt like this last season they were kind of like not trying to explain lots of things. I feel like there's so many like loose ends. Like I guess that they were kind of trying to explain like the Vecna stuff, but it felt so like haphazard to me, which I think has been like a complaint that a lot of the fans have and is part of the reason why the fans have come up with all of these cockamamie theories because there's just so many things that are unresolved.
Exactly.
And my main complaint, I think, about this season and about the show in general, which I have said about other things before on the podcast, is just like, I do not, for the life of me, understand why the showrunners and producers of these major franchises are not mapping things out further ahead. Like, I understand the pay structure of TV and the payment structures of movies and things. And it's like, okay, the screenwriters get paid for it. You know, it's not like that, oh, the screenwriters write the entire show ahead of time. And, you know, it's like you get episodes and whatever, it's doled out. But I'm like, this happened, I think, most notably with the most recent Star Wars trilogy, where it's like they just started it. They knew that it was going to be three movies, but they were just like, okay, person A, you write movie one. Now we're going to pass that over. Okay, person B, you write movie two. Okay, wait, we didn't like that. Okay, well, maybe person A, you try to fix this. And it's like, you knew it was going to be three movies. Even if you did not have like the scripts done for all of those ahead of time, it seems like somebody in some room should have sat down and been like, this is the plot of movie A, this is the plot of movie B, this is the plot of movie C, so that way you can put the things in movie A that you need to have there for the completion of movie C. And again, I understand with Stranger Things, the first season was low budget. It was this tiny little show. Nobody thought it was going to be a big deal. Nobody knew who any of these kids were. Nobody knew who the Duffer brothers were, whatever. The first season is a massive success. So I feel like at that point, they should have at least, you know, sort of figured out where what they were doing with this. And at the very latest, after season two, they should have mapped all of this out. And it feels like that they really didn't try to figure out what the end of this was going to be until they were sort of putting together season four, and maybe not even really then.
Because they didn't know there'd be two and a half years.
And it's like, and then we've got this play that's shoved in there, which I do think is good because that's like a prequel. But it doesn't, like, it doesn't really tie into the show. Like, in some ways, yes, not everyone's going to see this play in New York City, so you don't want to make it integral. But I kind of thought that, like, they might do more with the things that happened in the play and just redo those, some of them, in the show.
I mean, yeah, it's a play. They could technically take one episode and make the movie version of it.
Right. Or do like some like kind of, I don't know, something or another that makes you still want to go see the show on Broadway, but also is interesting. Like, it just felt very like thrown together at the last minute for me. And I think with all of those kinds of things, you know, like with Lost, like with with like the more recent like Marvel movies and stuff, it's like sometimes you get a little bit of luck and genius in there where you have these moments that really work, and then sometimes you have things that are really clunky but they don't fit together well. And I feel like you can tell, like with Harry Potter or like with Avengers Endgame, when there was somebody who knew what was going to happen earlier on in the process and could build a more cohesive ending that everything was working towards. Like, when you watch Avengers Endgame, you can tell that Kevin Feige, like, had some plan of what was going to happen with the, you know, the Infinity Stones and whatever, and where they are in these different movies and how they're popping up, because it all connects. And the same with Harry Potter and the Horcruxes. It's like, oh, clearly she knew what she was going to do in book seven when she started writing book one, because otherwise, like, you know, these little things wouldn't be there. Like,
maybe book two or three, let's say.
It's like, but it's like, I don't think J.K. Rowling is like I don't think anyone is smart enough to have like written the first five Harry or the first because the Horcrux is coming in book six, like to have written the first five Harry Potter books and then come up with the plot of book six and seven without knowing them ahead of time. You know?
Yeah, no, I think it speaks to the Duffer brothers. I think it speaks to this sort of like, this sort of ego-driven male energy of these bros who like suddenly get a hit and they're just excited about it. And then they just like go through it. And it's like, it's sort of like that, the person who can just like whip up a group project at the end and get okay grades, and they're like, great, you know, they coast, they're happy to coast on their talent, and it works for the most part until you have to do a bigger, more logically driven project management situation, and then the gaps become very obvious. And that's why this whole promo cycle, everyone's like tripping over themselves making up these theories about like, oh, there's a secret second episode coming. There's a secret another ending. Like, there's got to be more. Look at this. And I see these interviews with the Duffer brothers, and I'm like, these guys do not care. Like, I mean, obviously they, you know, I don't think they're sick of the Stranger Things world. I think they enjoy playing in it, and they have like love for the characters, blah, blah, blah. But I do not think they're the masterminds that we want to imagine them being. Like, they are just, when they're asked, like, well, why did you say that this like auto shop sells ice cream? They're like, oops, forgot. They're like, yeah, I forgot we had a dog in season one. Like, we killed it off and no one cared. And it's like, yeah, it's like stuff like that. Like, they're just rolling with it. They're just, they're vibes. And right now they just had a final project to do and they did it. And it was pretty, you know, B minus work, but they did it. And it wasn't as terrible as it could have been.
Well, I do think it speaks to fandoms in general. And you know, not to tie this into Taylor Swift, but like, obviously her fans are always looking for Easter eggs and things. And sometimes she has them, but lots of times, you know, they're looking at shadows that aren't there. But I think when you, especially when you're a young person, you attach such importance to these, you know, pop culture moments or TV shows or books or whatever, and you just latch onto them and they become like such a part of your soul and your personality and your identity. And then you like reread or rewatch these things over and over and over and over again to the point where you know it like backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards. And the thing with like, you know, Stranger Things and the Duffer Brothers, like, yes, it is their baby, like they're putting a lot of energy into it, but the energy that they're putting into it is like in the making process of it, not necessarily in the finished product. Yeah. It's not like they're going back and rewatching season one over and over clearly. And over again. Yeah. It's like they made it, they put it out, and then they moved on. And the and so the fans like know the finished product better than they do.
Yeah.
And also like a lot of these fans, no offense, because, you know, myself included when I was younger with Harry Potter and stuff, it's like, what do I have going on in my life? Like nothing. I've got homework. I'm sitting at home. I can reread the Harry Potter books 800 times. Like, what do the Duffer Brothers have going on? A lot.
Nothing anymore.
They are. It's like now I'm sure they have 9,000 like spinoffs and brand deals and whatever. And I know that the Duffer Brothers, because they've talked about it, like in their like sort of like merchandise clauses and stuff, like they have input in a lot of different stuff that has to get approved by them.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that they are in meetings, you know, where it's like, okay, here's all of the sweatshirts that we're releasing. Like there's all of the, you know, like, they're in all kinds of meetings for all kinds of stuff. Not to mention, if they know Stranger Things is coming to an end, they're taking meetings from other studios. They're reading pitches. You know, they're doing all kinds of stuff. Like, they don't have time to be focusing on this but in the same way that random people do. And, like, yes, you want them to care about it and to, I think, have more forethought than they did. But it's like, if you think that they are paying as much attention as you, the fan, are to this, they're not. In the same way, like, I will write articles and then later on I will forget that I have written them. Like, you would think like, oh, I wrote this article, I should remember it. And it's like, I will click on something and go, oh, who wrote this? Oh, I wrote this? Like, oh, okay. But I think that's,
oh,
just,
my God, who wrote this? I love it. I have to... have to meet up with this guy.
It would usually happen at parade where I'd be like, do we have an article that's like, is the new season, like, when is the new season of Stranger Things coming out or whatever? And I would go and I would say, oh yeah, we have it. Oh, I wrote it. Like, okay. Forgot that I wrote that, but
No, I mean, I don't think we need to be patronizing of people who like care or have time, and it doesn't mean they're always like young or
no, they're losers.
They're
young losers. No, especially Swifties.
It's not what I stand for. But I do think it is interesting, especially in today's landscape of television and movies, where it is sort of like the wild, wild west again, where you don't know if you're going to get a next season. You don't know like what the money will look like. You don't have the same amount of loyalty to the original piece because it's like, it's just plain luck of whether or not you'll get another season, or you could start a whole new season and it get canceled. Like, it's just a mess. So I think there is sort of a distance between creators now where it's like, okay, yeah, we'll just ride this wave as long as it lasts and not worry too much about it. And we have to have 17 other side hustles because this can't be our one thing and we're not getting paid enough to make this our one job, blah, blah, blah. And so I do think that is a symptom of this too, of looking at like, okay, you had a decade, like literally a decade to map this out. But I don't think it was a sure thing as like, I don't know. I think about all the shows that came out during Stranger Things run.
Yes.
And it's like, you have like the entirety of To All the Boys I Loved, like in the last two seasons of this. And like, it has been since 2016 to now, you know, 2025. They had these years to map it out, to think about it, but they also didn't know if they'd have every chance they did. So it's sort of like, yeah.
I get that when you're talking about like comedies or procedurals or even something like Succession, where it's like, you kind of don't really need to know, like, it's not necessarily all building towards something. It's just progressing as life progresses. I think if you're a show like Stranger Things or Lost or whatever, where there's like a mystery sort of element to it, you need to know what the ending of the mystery is.
Well, the ending is that there is a deep space portal, little vaginal alien snake thing, spider thing, and it wants to devour the world. And the only way to do that is for his little foot soldier to kidnap 12 children and tie them up, pipe them up to power him so that he can power the abyss, so that then the worlds can break open and Vecna can be happy with everyone turning into little, I don't know, demon food. Like, I don't know what the world's going to look like.
The plot, no sense. I'm like, we honestly can't even talk about it.
And you know what?
I don't understand.
And you know what? The mind flayer, he's going to have a special room right inside of this chest so that people can fight in it. And play in it.
Well, you have to have a room. If you're a big bad,
you
gotta
have
to
have a room
with
some 12 sand,
slots and
lots
sand
of spikes,
in there.
Lots of spikes. Just because you never know when
just
you need to impale,
you gotta
someone.
Impale someone. And
you're going to exist in a desert.
Mouths.
Even though you supposedly hate the heat, you're going to exist in the desert. We don't know how space temperature works. It might be cold. They were all wearing jackets.
They were all wearing clothes.
They were layered up. And
it's
there's
a cold desert.
There's
cold
conveniently
desert.
Not
desert,
a
people?
Single Dimmadog in sight, because the Mind Flayer is an ego-driven creature. And he doesn't need backup. He just needs
he got
Vecna.
Tired of them. He was
Vecna
like, oh, they're so
sucking
annoying.
The life source and pumping it. I don't know, into
him. Yeah, it's like,
him.
The I'm sorry, everyone, the plot actually makes no sense. Like, it doesn't.
Well, I mean, yes, because Vecna is Henry Creel, and Henry Creel is a student from Hawkins who killed a man and got possessed. But he still went to high school. He still went to high school after that, had some run-ins.
Yes. Well, that's in the play.
And yeah, and then of course he became patient zero,
well,
patient one. Oh yeah, he kills. That's not canon though, because
no,
not everyone
can
see the play.
Oh okay, yes. I wonder if the play is doing better. This is the side, but the play was not selling well. Like,
I thought it was. No.
No. This summer and stuff, it was not selling well. Mm. And it's a very expensive production. So everyone was sort of like, it is losing money. And the question was kind of like, okay, obviously Netflix has all this money. They're going to keep it around through, you know, Stranger Things being on the air. But I'm sort of wondering now that Stranger Things, you know, has come back and whatever, like,
showed up, right? The Vecna,
how long
guest,
well,
star.
Yes, and he was in it, like, in a cameo sort of way. But I want to know, like, will this show be on Broadway for another, like, will it be like the Harry Potter one that just like goes and goes and goes, or will this shut down in a month?
Probably. I mean, they already canceled the spinoff that they were originally writing.
Well,
Netflix
and there's
did.
Like an animated thing, I
oh,
think,
yeah,
that's coming
the animated
out.
It's coming out.
But that's set in between like season 2 and 3 or season 3 and 4 or something. Okay, let's talk about the actual season a bit, like the episodes. Because I sort of feel like talking about the end and if it makes sense and all of that, like, is just
it doesn't,
like, a
accepted.
Fool's errand. Yes. Okay, so the first batch of episodes, we got 4 episodes. And this is like more of your standard Stranger Things fare, I think. Like, in that there's people in Hawkins, there's sort of like, there's a couple new characters introduced, there's some shenanigans, there's some Demogorgons. This is where the Demogorgons show up in the house and attempt to kill Mike's parents, even though neither of them die. They're running through the tunnels. This is where Holly has an invisible friend. And then the end of the first set of episodes is when they're trying to get all of the children out of Hawkins. And instead Vecna comes, or the demidogs come or whatever, and collect all of these 12 children who are needed for unclear reasons and take them into the, like, weird mind world, Kamazots, whatever, of
I saw the funniest TikTok that was just the song. But the thing I'm proudest of is the orphanage.
Oh, yes.
Hamilton. And it's just clips of Henry Creel hanging out with these children. God knows what reason.
The orphanage. Yeah. Hey, that's amazing. I'm telling you, and you know what's a great piece of American culture? Hamilton. Hamilton. I'm like, 10 years, Hamilton and Stranger Things came out around the same time. Oh my God,
you're right.
And because those were both like key pieces of us being in the office together. And I'm like, Hamilton holds up so well. 10 out of 10 for Hamilton. Stranger Things. But I do think I enjoyed the first four episodes.
You liked it more than me. Yeah.
I liked it. I thought the plot line with Dipshit Derek was Dipshit very Derek funny. I liked him. I loved them trying to get the kids out of the army barracks. I thought it was such a funny, like, fun sequence. I did think that the part with the Wheelers getting attacked by the Demogorgons, I thought that those were good, like, action scenes. And yes, there is a lot of exposition going on here, but I do think that there's some, you know, some just like fun kind of character stuff as well, which sort of like falls to the wayside as we get into the plottier, like, second half. We need to have a whole nother conversation about the Will Byers gay coming out, that whole saga of things.
Yeah.
But I did like him having powers at the end of the fourth episode and having that sort of be the big, you know, thing. Like, I thought that worked very well.
Yeah, but then it was like nothing. Chills. Oh my God. It played out into nothing.
Yes. But I will say, I think the first four episodes were the strongest part of the season.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they ended well. And then we came back and it was not.
And that's what I woke up to. I was like, you know what? These episodes were not doing it for me. It felt like everyone was kind of, I don't know, like everything was so convenient, even in its own desperation to make it complicated, of like, why is Elle learning to jump over buses? Like, what do you mean this conspiracy theorist is the guy who's able to smuggle anything in at any time of day? And when are these kids going to school? And why haven't their parents noticed yet? But then
the craziest thing was that the whole town is barricaded.
Yeah.
Like, the entire town is under military surveillance. These people have not been allowed to leave for
18 months.
Years. And yet everybody's acting like it is.
It's chill,
normal.
Man. It's chill. It's chill. It's chill. It's fine. It's chill. Everyone just forgot about the pink flames rising up from this earthquake, I guess. But yeah, exactly. It's like, ugh, it was too burdensome for me to really find joy. And the CGI was bad because they were terrible. Saving up for their final battle, but it was so bad.
They were not saving anything. I promise
you. The scene I think about the most is Steve and Joe. Wait, no.
Jonathan
racing up the tower in the first episode.
Oh, yes.
And it is like clearly like they're just on a treadmill, like just on a green screen. No, it's terrible.
Everything on the desert planet, which looks like it was shot. It was ripped out of a Power Rangers episode in 1993.
You know what actually turned me off of watching the second batch is they do the running up that hill sequence again.
Oh, well, it looked so terrible.
And I was like,
to bring that back.
You guys would have been better just copy and pasting the first time this happened in season four, because the CGI looks so cheap here. This like set design or whatever is so bad in this one that I was like, you're not even going to spend money on this final season. I'm out. Like, how dare you? How dare you disrespect Sadie Sink that way? She came back to do this show and you're going to treat her like this with this ratty hair?
Did she come back for it though? Did she? She's not in the first three episodes really at all, except for laying down. Then she comes back and is relegated to this side plot with all of the children at the orphanage.
Yeah.
And in like Henry Creel's brain.
I'm confused about.
In the wheelchair.
Wait, can you tell me why she's in the wheelchair? Did her legs get broken or something? Or she's just weak from a coma?
I think it's just atrophy. Yes. Mm-hmm. Which, I'm doing the exercises. I'm like, of all of the sort of like real world things that we're going to be a stickler about, it's, oh, that her legs have atrophied to the point where she can't walk, so she can't be in any of these final scenes. It's not like she serves another purpose. She's just like not there. Like,
I know.
She doesn't have another like plan of things.
She has to hang out with Vicky. Nobody cares about Vicky. Not even my hawk cares about Vicky.
And I'm like, I understand that it would not be medically like sound, but we could have done a scene, you know, where someone's like, oh yeah, like rub your legs, or oh, you know, she's kind of stumbling around. Oh no, now she's fine.
Like, how long does it take to, like, you know, if they've been doing the proper stretching and exercises while she's been in bed, you know, doing the little leg lifts.
Well, in the 80s, I don't know if they knew that, but.
Yeah, okay. So that was one question. So it was like, tells her to come back, and so she finally, like, leaves the kids and runs. Is that it?
I'm trying to remember the logistics of this.
He speaks through Vecna because he is a vessel, Matt.
Yes.
Max, you have to run.
Yes. Because they need, because
they need her for what?
Right.
They need the answers or something. See, this is why I didn't watch it. It's completely unmemorable. You didn't even learn anything.
Wasn't that in the Max come out of the coma? That's it.
Max episode, is in the second. In the second batch. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Because the second batch. The second batch.
It's nothing. Nothing happens.
Okay.
Well, I read summaries. I feel like this is proving my point.
The second batch is all about Travis Kelce. It's just Travis Kelce.
It's all about how they love Travis Kelce.
Single scene.
I do want to talk about the gay storyline. Well,
no, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say the main thing that happens in the second batch of episodes is Will Byers coming out, which I would like to talk about, like, sort of holistically.
Okay. Is this about him having a group of 12 people witnessing this?
Well, there's also that. But no, I'm like,
strangers to him?
Like, Will comes out in this season. There's stuff about, like, him and Mike and whatever in the painting or whatever. There's things, like, in the fourth season that are sort of, like, hinted him being gay. But I'm like, you forgot about the painting. Clearly you haven't been on TikTok watching these fan theories. There's a lot about the paintings there. I don't think that was in play in the first three seasons.
No. Right? I mean, it was like, I don't know if they wrote him as gay, but there was a vibe.
Well, there was a vibe because Will Schnapp. Noah Schnapp is gay in real life. And he came out after season four, I think.
I think he came out between
season four and five. But so season four comes out, there's like hints, then Noah comes out, and then I think in some interview or another in the intervening time period, either the Duffers or Noah or somebody made some statement of like, oh yeah, like we're gonna get into that.
Or, yeah. Like, oh man.
Yeah, like that's coming, whatnot. But then, as it turns out, we get this whole plot line in this season where Will is talking to Robin, who's a lesbian, obviously. And Robin is sort of like, oh yeah, like once I sort of accepted myself, like it freed me and gave me power. It opened me up in ways that I sort of didn't realize. And Will, sort of like once he's able to accept himself as a gay person, is able to access these powers from Vecna and, you know, use them to his advantage. Which I think in some ways like makes sense, because I do feel like as a gay person, that when you like, when you're in the closet, you don't realize all of the aspects of your life that is cutting off, and all of the different ways that is sort of boxing you in. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, there's things like, oh, you can't date somebody, or, oh, you can't, you know, you know, like it makes your relationships with like other men or whatever weird. But then there's all kinds of other things that I think you really, as someone who's only ever been in the closet, have no idea that it's impacting, of like, oh, it's impacting the music that you listen to and the, you know, sort of way that you carry yourself and the clothes that you wear and whatever, just because you're constantly thinking about like, oh, if I wear, like, I like this shirt, but if I wear this shirt, will I look gay? I don't know. So maybe I should wear this other shirt, you know, like all of that kind of stuff. So I do understand that aspect of like, oh, if you come out, it frees you. It gives you access to this whole, you know, section of personhood that you haven't had before. And in the same way, I also understand that if you want to make connections with other people, you have to be honest about yourself. Like when I came out, I was able to have a lot better relationships with everybody in my life, with you, with, you know, with, I mean, well, I guess not everybody, because some people don't like it, but anybody who's not homophobic, it's like, yeah, because you can just be honest with the people. So I also sort of understand when Will is like, hey, I need to like come out and tell everyone that I'm gay before, you know, we go through this big moment or whatever. Yes, that he doesn't like girls. However, in the episode, they come up with this like weird sort of, oh, like Vecna can see my mind and I need to and it's just sort of like, what? Like, I don't think they made a compelling case for like why he needed to come out in that exact moment when they sort of didn't have the time to do it. And he needed to come out to literally everyone in the cast in one big group meeting. Yeah. And something that I thought was funny is that on Twitter, somebody was saying, you know, like, obviously, yes, Will is friends with some of these people, but like Will has not met some of these people or has only seen some of these people once. And he's like, hey, everybody, like, I need to come out to you. Yeah. And it's like, okay, well, Will, how much time have you spent with Steve Harrington? Like, how much time have you spent with the smuggler or with Erica or with like Vicky? You feel compelled that you need to tell them about this.
I also saw him say like, oh, we had to do like 12 takes. It took like 12 hours to get it right. And I was like, ugh. No, you're just a bad actor.
Well, so now I think is a good time to get into a couple of more cultural aspects of this. Yes, it apparently took him a long time to do the shot, which some people are like, oh, that's because you're a bad actor and they had to keep like redoing it, which I think, you know, could possibly be true. But two, this has led people online to come up with these theories of, oh, they were why would they be shooting for so long? There must be extra footage. Maybe they had to shoot the scene twice. Like, there are multiple versions of this scene because there's this whole fandom, Bylers. Yes, which it's like...
Will and Mike.
Yeah,
you're asking Will, how they make
it. It's Will Byers and Mike Wheeler. Yeah, so Byler is like Byers and Wheeler put together. That's what it is. But that sort of like is shipping the two of them, even though I think it's pretty obvious in the show that like Will has feelings for Mike, Mike doesn't have feelings for Will. But that, oh, the coming out scene was so abrupt and it was weird and we got shortchanged.
Yeah, Mike didn't like, make eye contact.
Yes, a lot of development between these two characters. And I don't know if any of this is true or not, but like supposedly this middle batch of episodes, the episodes were originally longer and then they got shortened. Some people are saying, oh, that's because Netflix wanted to cut out some of the gay stuff, which I'm like, I don't think that really makes any sense because they kept the coming out
the big
scene,
one.
You know? Right. It's not like it was subtext. Like, it was very like textual. Yeah. I don't think that like we missed a blowjob scene in there somewhere. But yeah, that there was all of this, you know, Will and Mike stuff that was somehow cut someplace and that and people just wanted more of that. And they felt like that these middle batch of episodes didn't really give enough character development to lead to Will coming out or leading to the responses that the other characters were giving. And I'm like, oh, it was just a poorly written script.
Yeah.
But all of the fans are like, well, that can't be the answer. Like, there has to be something else. And so then there's all of these theories of like, okay, well, Will is being controlled by Vecna. Yeah. And so actually what we're seeing is like a fake memory. And
that's why he mentioned the ice cream.
Right. And that's why there was, these different things that are inconsistencies with episodes in the first three seasons. It wasn't that the writers just didn't remember something. It was like purposefully put in there. And so people,
you know what, Matt? You know what?
Yes.
I bet they shot for 12 hours because they had to shoot Millie and Hopper's scenes separately. So.
Well, and that they did. I'm like, I'm sorry. You cannot convince me that that did not happen.
Every person got an individual coming out and then they just pasted the people in the same room together.
Did I not tell you this? Did I not bring this up to you at some point? Maybe we didn't because I hadn't talked to you. But I'm like, watching this whole season, I'm like, every scene with Hopper and Eleven is edited weird. They are barely ever in the same shot.
Yeah,
and if they are, there's like, oh, one of them has their back turned, or one of them's blurred, or one of them's off the set. Like, it's very strange. And this was all sort of like brought into very clear focus for me when they show... At the end, when they have their final sequence, I made a whole TikTok about this. Yeah. It's going viral, whatever.
Very good.
But something I didn't include in the TikTok is that that scene is intercut with scenes from the first couple seasons of moments with Eleven and Hopper. And in all of those sequences, the two of them are together. Like, it's very clear that it's two people in the same room filming together. Mm-hmm. And then you get all of the scenes in this season where it doesn't look like they're filmed together. And even like, even in all of the green screen haziness and whatever, there are lots of sequences in this season where you can tell that the actors are there together. Like Jonathan and what's her name? Nancy. It's like those people are acting in the same room. You know, like you can tell that they are there and that they are acting with each other, even if there are some individual shots. Where with Hopper and Eleven, it's like
maybe that's why the CGI is so bad, is because they had to spend all their money on
like body doubles together. And splicing things. Yes, it's possible.
Follow up video. I heard that the coming out was disappointing and kind of weird and awkward. And then that it didn't end up mattering.
Did you watch that scene at all?
Yeah, I watched.
Did you see the clips of it or whatever?
Yeah.
Because I didn't think it was a bad scene, and I felt emotional
just in the context
watching it.
Yeah.
It feels very sort of like out of left field, and like why are we doing this here? But I thought that the scene, like in and of itself, was good. And I thought it, you know, the writing was good enough. I feel like emotional. I think this is just like personal trauma. When someone comes out on a TV show and like their friends and family are super accepting, it's like, okay, wait.
Yeah, what?
Why do I feel a certain way about this?
Very cute. Love a group hug.
Right. So I was like, okay, I don't think this is like cringy and bad necessarily. With some people online, I feel like this was the worst scene I've ever seen. Well, I mean, there was the homophobic people who were like, why are you making this gay? Like, this is supposed to be about aliens. And then there were the people who were like, actually, when I came out, it was nothing like this. Like, this is so cringy.
And then there were the people who were like, why isn't Mike sucking his face right now?
Mike should be kissing him. They're secretly in love. Did you not see the painting?
Mike needs to come out, Well, I think what's more interesting is that, they like set up these interesting like character details, but then the payoff isn't really there. Like, it's like thinking of the final battle. It's like, I don't know. It's hard because you always get Eleven in the same situation where she's flinging stuff around and grunting and rolling around and her nose is bleeding. And so how do you differentiate the final battle here? It's like, you don't really? Like, everyone's just kind of watching her do this fight. I mean, I liked the final... I liked the weird abyss scene of them, like, being suddenly in Mad Max and they're, like, killing this monster, even though it was super easy to kill this mind flayer, it turns out. They're doing it with, like, hand grenades. But I was sort of like, oh, okay, so that's all Will's power comes to, is, like, he I don't know. Like, it was just kind of like, oh, okay, that's it.
Well, the problem, and I feel it this way with Marvel movies too. Like, if you have sort of an all-powerful person, or you only have like a very sort of like limited set of powers,
yeah,
then you only have a really limited set of things you can do with them. That's why I like the X-Men movies, because I feel like in X-Men, you have a bunch of people who all have kind of lame powers in some ways, but it's like there's so many of them and they all have different things that you can put them in all kinds of right. different combinations that makes, oh, well, now this person's more powerful than this person. Okay, well, now if you switch something, you know, it changes it around. Where with this, yeah, it's like, okay, Eleven has, you know, her stuff. And in this season, they give some powers to Will. They also bring back, what, 7, 8, 9, whatever her, Kali, whatever her character is. They have some people in Henry Creel's mind. So they do, they're trying to add like a couple of different dimensions to it. But I feel like we need to talk about the mass psychosis that happened between part two and part three, where everyone I think was fine with part one. Everybody hated part two and was convinced that part three was going to be some sort of, you know, like, there was a twist. Gotcha. There was something revolutionary, yeah. whatever. That there were these... The middle set of episodes, they were going to release extended cuts, that the movie was going to retcon, like all kinds of crazy theories because of how
we just much don't everyone hated our the first can do bad yes, things. These
episodes. Well, and also everyone was just sitting at home because this was between Christmas and New Year's. So everyone had like 6 days to just ponder, you know, what could have happened. And my cousin was texting, like, we texting back like hundreds of messages about like, oh, maybe it's this, maybe it's this, blah, 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 blah. And then I think people went to the theaters sort of like thinking, oh, like, I wonder if there's some sort of big shocking something or another. And the ending was, you know, a very straightforward ending. And I think the ending, I think the last episode was good enough that everyone was, for the most part, sort of placated, other than these now crazy fans who think that there's going to be another episode coming, which is like, no, I'm sorry, that's not a thing. But I liked the finale, and I liked the act. I thought the action scene was fun. Like, again, it didn't, like, nothing really made sense, but I was enjoying it while it was happening. I was vibe. It was vibes.
Yeah, it was like, because I think the problem with season four is they were all split up so much, like literally across state lines.
Yeah.
Whereas this, at least, you had...
Well, somebody was in Russia. What season was that?
That was season four. Russia, yes. And then in California. And then, so this at least brought most of them together again, or at least they could be in communication with each other. And so that helped it feel more united. Like, you got the fun final sequences and like character interactions, even if it was like a much bigger scope of like, you're in space now, like, okay.
Right.
But I did feel like I was satisfied, because unlike something like Game of Thrones, where it's like they choose every wrong turn, this was very much like bread and butter, what you expect. Like, it's disappointing that they couldn't think of something more creative, but at the end of the day, you get a pretty standard Stranger Things finale here. And, you know, good vanquishes evil, and then they all get a happy ending. And I did think there were some fun callbacks, like giving Winona Ryder that final kill was a good thing, having those sort of flashbacks to all that she's been through. It's like, yeah, bitch, kill the guy. And I liked the idea of Eleven sort of sacrificing herself, but I did feel like it was kind of weird how it happened. Like, why is she in Mike's mind? I guess just to like, because he's the storyteller, I guess. But I felt like they weren't in a relationship in season five. They had no chemistry. I was like, I don't know what happened between these two, but they decided to move on from their relationship. Well,
the craziest part of the finale was when it cut to the scenes of like them having their first kiss.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, these are like 10-year-olds.
I know.
I was like, what business did we have pairing any of these people up in, you know, these like quote unquote relationships when they were this young.
Yeah, I know. It's like it didn't matter. Like it was weirder sort of now when they kissed goodbye. I was like, y'all should have hugged. No. Like this doesn't need to happen.
And I think the Lucas and Max stuff like worked better.
They're better like, actors.
Because they're better actors, but they also have felt like that they were like that relationship has been more relationshipy throughout the entire
right. Like, yeah, they throughout start the show's run.
Where Eleven and Mike sort of like never seemed like they were romantically so linked. They were always
kind well. That's of why Byler. Like friends, that's why Byler is real.
Well, right, no, exactly. And Eleven is a beard. Which, yeah, you know, truthers. No, and the a bonus episode will say that.
Yeah.
So stay tuned, everyone, for the bonus. The bonus episode, yeah. It's coming.
I do think it's interesting, like seeing the feedback of this episode. Like I walked away and I was like, yeah, that's good. Like, is it interesting that only 40 minutes were the fight and then the last hour is just like cutesy happy endings for everyone? Sure, whatever. But that's a finale. It's like an old standard finale. Happy to see it. But this idea of like, oh my God, there's so many plot holes. And then the list of plot holes people are coming up with are like, is Derek's family just dead in a barn? And it's like, no. I think we as an audience need to remember, we too have imaginations and we too can fill in gaps that aren't explicitly said on screen. And just because we don't see Derek's family get untied and have the situation explained to them and move on with their happy lives does not mean that they're dead in a barn somewhere or that they are, you know, if you want to imagine that they're suing like Winona Ryder for kidnapping, sure, imagine that. But it's like, I don't think that constitutes a plot hole is to have these little things or like what happened to Vicky. That was lazy writing, but I don't think it's a plot hole per se. It's just there's an 18 month gap where 18 months worth of stuff happened. And so you're not going to see all this like play out. But I do think the big shadow over this is like, what the fuck is going on with the military? And like, how are they? What happened? Like, what happened?
All the dead happened? Military people? Like, yeah. So many dead people.
Yeah. Like, literally, when Elle killed that soldier with his own gun, I was like, damn, girl.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That
is
crazy.
Dark. That is so dark. And it's like, these are U.S. soldiers on U.S. land. And I feel like the U.S. would have some questions, you know? But they all just, like, go back to life. And also, okay, I forgot Hopper was in Russia. And presumed dead. I do feel like there could have been something there.
There's also, I've seen videos about like, okay, but the Upside Down was also in Russia because that was.
Oh yeah, the Upside Down makes no
sense. So it's like, is the Upside Down still in Russia? Yeah. Just not in Hawkins?
Is it toxic? Is it not? Like, what is
was
this?
It everywhere? Like, how did that wall, how did that giant weird wall impact the?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. There's lots of questions.
Like the others, or not the others, the us, the untethering.
It does feel like, not like the other. It does feel like Lost, though, to a certain degree.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, when Lost came out and it was the last season whatever, like I was going through it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was so pissed off and was like disavowing the show and so confused about how could they not like have, you know, tied this up better and what were the polar bears? You know, like there were so many.
They explained the polar bears.
I mean, they kind of did, but like whatever. What was the smoke monster? You know, there's just like so many things that I felt like I was upset about. Now it's like, I think I could rewatch Lost the whole way through and be like fine with a lot of those discrepancies. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think that the best part about the finale was sort of the wrap up of everybody and seeing how, like what happened to all of these characters, because the thing is the Duffer Brothers did not want to kill anyone. Yeah. I think, since this came out, like there's been clips of interviews and stuff where like Eleven is like, oh my gosh, the Duffers are so nice, they don't want to write anybody off the show, they hate killing people, like they, and it's like, yeah, you can tell, because they should have killed so many different people throughout this franchise but definitely in this finale, and it would have freed up time. Yeah. It would have freed up a lot. Like, if, like, they should have probably killed off Max. They, like, I mean, there's so many things that they should have done. And yeah. then even when they quote unquote kill off 11, they don't really kill off 11. So you really did need that 45 minutes at the end to be like, okay, and what are all of these individual characters doing Lord with their Rings. Lives?
Yeah.
And like, let's go through them all one by one. And okay, let's get the scene of Hopper and, you know, Joyce, and let's get the scene of the older kid. And then the younger kids.
Do you think that the older kids was an intentional nod to, like, the nostalgia of wanting to believe something will happen, but knowing now that it never will? Or do you think they're delusional enough that they believe that those four will meet up in between states to hang out once a month?
No. I think it's... I think it's the delusion of, like, when you're in college and you're like, yeah, we're all going to see each other and we're going to be friends forever.
It's an
and
intentional. Then
you, right.
Sad.
Like, I think that those four characters in that moment sort of believed that that was going to happen, that they were going to meet up once a month in Philadelphia. And maybe they meet up once in Philadelphia, but I don't think are going to meet up. Right. Yeah. It's like, I just,
it's like,
but I do think they believe that.
Yeah. And yeah. Think, that's true.
And I think especially, like, because they're what? They're supposed to be like,
they're like 19, 20.
I guess they're probably a little older than that in that point because the,
yeah, because there's an 18-month drop, and he's
well, because they all, because the younger kids all graduate high school.
Yeah.
So they must all be like 22, 23.
Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere in there. But I do think that, like, that is the period of your life where you're so connected. And I think especially if you've lived in the same place your whole life and you only know those people.
And you're trauma bonded.
Right. You don't really realize that you're going to go other places and you're going to make other friends, and there's, and those people are going to become less significant to you.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like when I left college, like, there were people who I was like, this is the most important relationship that I have ever had in my life. Like, we are going to be friends forever. And not to say that we're not still friends, cause we are, but it's like, then I've lived, you know, 12 years or whatever since then. And I have lots of other friends and relationships, and this person who I was once really close to now lives in Georgia, and I see her, you know, once every year or so.
I mean, the most unrealistic thing is that at least three of these people should be writing books, you know? Like, what is Nancy doing not writing this as a novel or something? But it's like,
well, that is confusing. Like, and I think that goes to the military of it all. Is like, did they all have to sign NDAs or something?
Government. Yeah. They're like, if you don't want to go to...
I feel like that they should have made... I feel like what...
Yes, this that would have been
this
helpful.
Is a pitch.
Yeah.
This is a pitch.
Yeah.
I think what they should have done is been like, oh, the crazy lady from Terminator, like...
I hate her. Yeah.
Like overstepped her bounds. Mm-hmm, like, she was not supposed to do this. She was bad.
Yeah.
Like, she's part of the problem. We don't want any lawsuits on the end from her. We don't really want this getting out because of all these scientific experiments or whatever. Like, they could have had one scene where they're sort of like, okay, we're all just gonna pretend this didn't happen.
Because they do that in, like, season one, don't they? Or, like, season two, when Hopper officially adopts 11, they're like, okay, don't say anything about this, but here, we'll be quiet.
Right. Yeah. I think that's what they should have done.
Yeah.
Because that would have made sense of, like, why no one's writing a book,
why no one's sort of like writing this
on the tour.
Yeah.
Why everyone is sort of like, yeah, we got to get back to normal, and why the government isn't, like, still doing things.
The government's letting Hopper be a literal police officer.
Yes.
Yeah. Crazy. Crazy, crazy. But no, I do think the most, the, like, rooftop scene, whatever, they're not my favorite actors, so it wasn't my favorite scene, but I did love the nostalgia of the kids coming together and playing one more game, and them getting to tell their story about, like, is 11 really alive, and I believe, and all this, and then cutting to the younger kids coming down to play Dungeons and Dragons. Like, that's very cute, and it worked. It was very sentimental, and it reminded you of the, like, show roots of this being that sort of classic 80s kid thriller comedy where, like, the stakes seem high, but at the end of the day, it's just about friends being friends. And so I thought that was really good.
Yeah. And 11 in Norway.
And with you're perfect lip filler. And
no, the 11th lip filler was insane the entire season. Every shot of her, it's like, what?
Every girl? Cut to a younger one, I'm like, girl, this is not. This is not working.
I was like, you look
you're
crazy.
You're a different person.
The season looked so ugly that when they finally cut to 11 on location in Norway,
you're like,
flew her to this place. Like, this is an actual shot. You're like, oh, wow. Like, this,
that
this
was
is
the
what
payoff
this would have looked like all along.
Yeah.
Like, we got stuck with Power Rangers Planet and we could have had this.
Bad,
like,
yeah.
I want to play a game.
Oh, okay.
Which is, we go through the cast, mm-hmm. and you tell me how famous these people will be now that Stranger Things is over.
Okay.
Like, will they ever, like, will they become more famous later on? Is this the most famous that they're ever going to be?
Okay.
Like, will they only go to comic book conventions and stuff mm-hmm. in the future?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
David Harbour.
He's got Marvel. So he'll probably be
yes.
He'll probably be good.
But do you think he's getting other things after Marvel all the Lily Allen stuff?
I mean, Lily
or
Allen,
or don't you think that impacts
like
him?
A sex life? It's like, who cares?
Yeah,
it's funny. It's not cruel.
Okay, Millie Bobby Brown.
I think she is going to stay in the lifestyle lane. Do less acting, more of her little makeup line.
So you think she'll be sort of like Emma Watson kind of energy?
Yeah, probably. I think she will never out-act Stranger Things.
Yes. Finn Wolfhard.
He's trying. People think he's good. I haven't seen it. But let's say, you know what? I think this is his peak. I do. I think he'll be around and he'll act, but I don't see him being a great adult male lead.
I think that he's been in enough stuff.
But what is he going to do once he's not a kid, you know?
Well, but this is, okay, so this is my pitch on him. I think he's been in enough stuff that when you see him, like, yes, you know he's in Stranger Things, but he's not someone who's only been in Stranger
Things.
Right, like,
but I think he's a child actor. I don't think he'll be a grown up.
But I also think he is, like, a unique looking person.
Yes.
And I think that, like, do I think that he's going to be a Brad Pitt sort of, like, leading man kind of thing? I don't know. But I think that he has, like, a specific look that could get him a lot of roles in things, even if they're not, like, main roles, just because it's, like, oh, a famous person who's, like, kind of a different looking vibe.
Maybe.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah. I disagree, I see what you mean.
I could also see him taking sort of like a Robert Pattinson-esque route where, you know, it's like he does all of these like weird sort of like side projects. Okay, Gaten Matarazzo.
I think he'll continue. I think he has the charisma to try something else.
Yes.
So I think he will eventually get something else.
I feel like he might be a little shoehorned for me, like as Stranger Things.
Game. Yeah.
Caleb McLaughlin.
Ugh, I want him to do Lucas, more. I think
but I haven't seen him do anything. So
I know. It's racism, man. Honestly.
I guess.
I think he's the strongest actor of the kids. I mean, aside from Sadie Sink.
I'm like, Sadie Sink, obviously, fame.
Yeah,
like,
she's
whatever.
Good.
She's the breakout
she's the
star.
Yeah.
Noah Schnapp, I don't think is doing anything.
Bless his heart. Sorry, sir.
And he's already cashing in on the Rewatch podcast. I'm like, bro, you should have saved that. Like, you needed to save that. Of the older kids, I do think that Joe Keery has a lot of charisma and will be around doing various things. He's also in a band. And then obviously Maya Hawke and Apple Baby, like, to the stars.
The other two, no. Sorry, no. See you at Comic-Con.
Yeah. And then I am very intrigued as to what dipshit Derek gets up to. And also Erica. Like, I think both those actors are fun. I don't know what roles there are for them necessarily, but I am.
Yeah. Yeah. The cards are stacked against Erica just because, I mean, racism. And also they're just at that weird age where there's not a lot of movies that want, like, tweens slash, you know, So it's like they're
she's 19, apparently, according to Wikipedia.
Oh my god.
I definitely would have said, oh yeah, she's like 14 and awkward, but it's like, no, she's 19. Maybe the wig is just bad.
Yeah.
Like, what does she look like in real life is maybe a question.
She's cute, yeah. But I don't know if they're like that standout-y as child actors to really break in. So I don't see it, but maybe.
No offense to her, but I kind of don't necessarily like
terrible start.
I feel like the like teen movie space, you need to be like the hot person, and I feel like she is more normal. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think she's getting cast in Riverdale.
If I was her and I heard you say that to me, I would KMS. I would
she's she's not. She's pretty, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. She's like
she's not Sydney Sweeney energy. She's not like bombshell va-va-voo.
Yeah. Let's just move on.
Okay. Okay. What is there anything else that we haven't discussed about? I mean, there's a lot.
Do you think Eleven is dead?
No, I think she's alive.
You know, it's so funny when they're like, only the three of us know. It's like, what does this do for you? What do you mean you know? Like, what does that do? I don't know. Do you think it informed their... Like, I'm like, okay, like, so Millie Bobby Brown knows if she's alive or not? Like, what does that mean? What does that do?
Well, obviously she knows.
But what does that do? Like, what do you mean that they know? Like, so it's like not in the script.
You mean Millie Bobby Brown herself, the actress?
Yes, knows. Yeah. Like, the Duffer Brothers are like, only us and Millie know the truth. And I'm just like, It's been sticking with me. It's like, what does truth mean in this context when it's a fictional story you've created? Like, what does it inform? What does that truth bring you?
I do feel like that is something that people like ask about. You know how like the Sopranos ending?
I know. Like, every person
who does an interview is like, did Tony Soprano get shot at the end?
Yeah.
And you're like, He's never gonna say. Yeah. And also, like, that's not the point of it, and it doesn't matter, and it's supposed to be ambiguous. Like, there's not a right or wrong answer to that.
Yeah.
But maybe Millie Bobby Brown was one of those people who like wanted to know because she felt like it would inform how she played the scene or something.
Yeah.
If she was, and so they had, so she was like, I need to know whether my character is dead because I'm gonna hike this Norwegian trail differently. Yeah. Also, I do think we have to keep in the back of our mind the fact that at some point we are getting a reboot of this franchise.
I would stake
the life of my firstborn child on the fact that we will. This is not the end.
Okay,
of
wait.
Things.
Do we know? Maybe Eleven is pregnant with Mike's child, and in 15
no,
to 20
Will is
years,
pregnant with Mike's child.
That child will find Mike a sad has-been who need him to help her learn to jump over buses.
So few things that have been this successful that they haven't tried to do a reboot of, like Dexter and Prison Break, and like so many things.
Yeah.
And I just think that this cast feels ripe for the fact that probably they're not going to be doing that much in 10 years.
Yeah.
And yeah, we could easily see a situation where like these kids are now like the grown-ups, they have their own set of kids, and something else happens in Hawkins. Like, I would almost, like, I would bet money on that happens.
Yeah.
Because how, like, okay, they are... Like, we would only have to wait, like, 10 years, probably, right?
Yeah. They'll probably look the same as they do now.
And that would be set, what, in the early 2000s?
Oh,
Like, maybe, like, Y2K? Like, it's, like, a Y2K
show?
Yeah,
some Madam Web.
energy. This, you know, this
have
is
you guys heard Toxic?
It just came out.
My
it's,
God,
it's running up
so
the
good.
It's running up the hill, but it's toxic. That's my favorite song. I gotta get there. Wow, Sadie Sink is like my character will not be returning to this show. At that point, Millie Bobby Brown just like it looks insane. She's like Joan Rivers-esque with all of the plastic surgery that she's gotten. Stranger Things. Yeah. I can't wait. Stranger Things season 6. Stranger Things.
Stranger
the movie,
Things.
The musical.
Too strange. Two things.
Strangest things. Yeah. There's.
Strange.
There's a lot of options. Yeah. I definitely think. Yeah. No. I'm like 1,000%. We're gonna see this because we could have. I'm like, okay. I'm already pitching this idea. Lucas and Max obviously have kids together, so that's one.
But Max is dead.
But Max is
dead.
And
Lucas wants to go find her soul. So he opens
the upside down. I'm like, Mike has married somebody else, but then Eleven comes back.
And with their child.
And Mike's wife is kind of like a bitch. And Eleven is like, wait, I loved you all along. And then we have to figure out a way to get rid of Mike's wife.
Mike published exactly one novel that sold 12 copies. And it turns out Eleven bought all of them.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Well, wouldn't 11 buy 11 copies?
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
If she was buying copies. And then, like, yeah, Gaten definitely has a kid. Steve can still be
Steve's probably having an affair with a student. Let's be honest.
No, Steve is a good daddy. As
Steve is
the little league.
Steve is the teacher from John Proctor is the Villain.
No.
And there will be a dance number to Lord in the spinoff for sure.
No, that's the wrong era. That's the spinoff to the spinoff when it's the grandkids. Yeah, when the Lord song kicks in.
But yeah.
Imagine if John Proctor was a villain is in the Stranger Things universe. Like, I mean, it's Sadie Sink's granddaughter.
Henry Creel is like, you know what? I'm going to create a high school because the younger kids are too unruly. So opens an orphanage for teenagers.
The orphanage. The orphanage.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm getting too slap happy. I'm like, we've got to wrap this up. I'm getting squirrely.
Yeah.
Okay. Whew. That's the end.
Great. End of an era.
Of that episode.
Decade.
You know what we have next week? The Golden Globes.
The Golden Globes. That's great.
Okay, perfect. Because I'm like, there's nothing. There's nothing.
Well, there's Primate.
No, we're doing
Primate.
I'm not doing Primate, although that has been getting good reviews.
It's been getting good reviews. So. Everyone hates a monkey. They're terrifying.
My monkey is the space ape from Ad Astra. That's the best for me.
Yeah.
Although the killer monkey in Nope is also
that's like basically what this movie is.
Maybe I should pitch an article that's just like evil monkeys. I think I'm too late for that, but
no, get on it. You have time. Do it right now. Do it today.
Okay. I'll do it as soon as we
so many
this
space
call.
Monkeys.
Well, okay, Shelby, this has been lovely. Oh my gosh. Like, this really is full circle for us.
Yeah.
On our friendship. Maybe we should just call it here and end it until the reboot.
Well, I was going to say, I think I've started a trend because who knows if I'll watch all of the Golden Globes, you know, we'll see how much I actually sit down through.
This is really going to call a lot of things into question when we get to the end of the year ranking.
No, I've been busy. I've been watching a lot of movies, okay? I watched...
Right, but have you been watching a lot of full movies?
I've watched them all. I watched all of Marty Supreme. I did. And I watched all of The Testament of Anne Lee. If I had legs, I'd kick you.
I'm going to be doing reading comprehension.
Oh, I'll pass.
For you.
Flying colors. Okay.
Was Travis Kelce in this movie?
Yeah, too much.
What was
10 minutes?
What happened to Marty Supreme when he went into the party and the Shark Tank guy was there? Can you answer that?
So fascinating, honestly. I'm obsessed with
Can
that.
Can you?
Yeah. The paddle. The paddle.
Oh, there you go. You must have seen that on TikTok.
Yeah.
No, actually, Travis Kelce was there.
Travis Kelce
spanked
over.
Him.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce was
Travis
trying to give him
jumped
one of
up
Taylor
to volunteer.
Says
he's like,
and
if you'll be on my podcast, New Heights, then I'll take the spanking for you. And he does.
Not to get off on the Kelce bandwagon here, but I did watch the first three episodes of Traitors.
Oh, okay.
Last night, because I got the screeners, and Donna Kelsey is on the show, mm-hmm. and I am very excited for that to reach the zeitgeist. So oh, we can talk about that. So you're gonna have to watch that, so that we can weigh in.
Okay, I will. Okay. We have to stop though.
Okay. Yes.
I have a question for you off air. So.
Okay. 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 Thanks everyone for listening. We'll be back next week to talk about whatever pieces of the Golden Globe Shelby has watched. Bye.